As I think I explained last year, maybe you forgot, but anyway, St. John has four scenes, resurrection scenes, and they increase in faith. First one was yesterday, when the two disciples, first Mary went to the tomb, couldn't find the body of Jesus, and she ran back and told Peter and John, and they both ran. And interesting line, the last one, he saw and believed, for they hadn't yet understand the scriptures. So he believed. There was a movement of his spirit, but it wasn't mature. He had yet to go, see. Had they understood the scriptures, they would have seen it. That says something very interesting about the scriptures, doesn't it? The scriptures can create faith. The Lord can impress the reality of whatever it is. This, all the prophecies, and we looked at some of them yesterday. Remember how Peter was quoting Psalm 16 and so forth? It's there. It's there. In prophecy, but it's there. They went home. It was the beginning of faith. They went home. Mary stayed. And you just heard the account. First the angels ask her, why are you weeping? And then this man asks her, why are you weeping? And she's beside herself, you see. But what is moving her? Love. There are overtones put there by John to give us an idea of the intensity of this meeting. She's looking all over for him, like the bride in the Song of Songs. And she's talking to the watchman, have you seen him? Have you seen him? See, this is the bride in the Song of Songs, looking intently for her bridegroom, Jesus. This is the church. This is everybody who lets their life be transformed by the Holy Spirit. This is more and more love. And it's the love that gives her the intensity. She saw Jesus there, didn't know it was Jesus. Why are you weeping? Whom are you looking for? She thought it was the gardener. This is very mysterious, isn't it? It's Jesus. But people don't recognize him. Of course, the shock, you know, he's dead. I mean, it can't be Jesus. But yet, there's something different about him when he wants it to be that way. Sir, if you carried him away, tell me where you laid him, and I will take him. And so far, this has been a meeting, but not a personal meeting. He's the gardener. All I want to know from you is where you put his body. Now it all changes. And there's another law here. It changes because Jesus takes the initiative. Nobody catches sight of Jesus like a UFO. You know, ah, there he is, you see. He's known by those to whom he reveals himself and who accept the revelation. And so he says to her, Mary. He calls her by her name. And now she knows who he is. And so she calls him Rabuni, my teacher, my master. Rabbi is hidden in that word, you know, it means Rabuni. What a wonderful thing to say. You're my teacher. I learn everything from you. And now Jesus goes on to instruct her. But the point we need to get so far What keeps her going? Love. It's a love of care. It's a love of desire. I don't care where he is. I want to find him. And so she does. Jesus says to her, stop holding on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. And then an expression we've seen before. Go to my brothers. You see, the resurrection establishes this relationship with Jesus. He is our brother. Really, our brother. Go to my brothers and tell them, I'm going to my Father and your Father. I'm going to our Father. Now, he's eternal, he's Son of God. He is Son by the very being that he has from all eternity. We're sons and daughters by the mercy of God. And it's established, as you see, just as we had the other day in Matthew, remember? In other words, the resurrection breaks all the worldly bonds in order to establish eternal bonds that are deeper, more affectionate, and can change us so that we can look, like the mystics tell us, a soul in love with Jesus Christ is like an iron rod stuck into a fire. I guess not many of you have ever seen a blacksmith. Of course, nowadays we do it with a blowtorch, you know, but it's the same thing. Until that iron is on fire, and you look and you can't tell the difference exactly where the iron starts, where the fire starts. You see, that's the union that he wants to have with us. So I'm going to our Father, my Father, because I am his eternal, co-equal, divine, infinite Son, and your Father, because I brought you into the family by my death and resurrection. This is what drove me, do you understand? Thinking of you being one with me and we both loving and worshiping, in that sense in my humanity, the Father. So Mary went and announced to the disciples. Now listen what she said. She said, I have seen the Lord. She didn't say, I have seen Jesus. Of course it's Jesus. That encounter so filled her faith that she saw the Lord. I have seen Yahweh. And that's what she told them. That is the witness of the church. I have seen the Lord. And he's beautiful. He has come among us. He has suffered incredibly. He's been raised by the Father. And now all he ever wanted to accomplish for us, he can do. He can give us a very share in who he is. So that's the witness. Now you can see, and I think I say this every Easter, but this is the witness of the church. I have seen the Lord. My faith is weak, I'm stupid, but I know he's the Lord. And I witness. The day the church can't say that, No matter what else it can say, we have the finest social action program in the world. It reaches from Borneo to Albany. We've got the greatest educational system. We've got the whatever. We are doing so much good. But if we can't say, I have seen the Lord, we're not Christians. This is the witness. But do you see? It comes from an interaction of love. Well, how do we get there? Prayer. Stop every day and search like Mary out of love for Jesus. But I never found him. I don't find him this way. You will. You will. And that knowledge that enables us to say, I have seen the Lord, is what drives the church. The church lives by prophecy, by a living first-hand knowledge of Jesus Christ the Lord. So let's make sure we take some time, real time today. There's got to be time. Nobody's going to work like 60 minutes of every hour to search for him like Mary did.